Make your way, if you would, please, back to Matthew chapter 14 this evening. Matthew chapter 14, as we are continuing the thought and the truth that the Lord laid on my heart for the next five messages. This would be message number two. And I'm so delighted to see you back tonight as I introduced you this morning from the 14th chapter, verses 22 to verses 33. As we visited the moment and the experience in Peter's life where the disciples were being tossed on the sea and the Lord Jesus walks out on the water to them, and then Peter, having known the Lord, requests opportunity to come on the water to him, and literally Peter walks on the water. I said this morning that most preachers will probably owe Peter an apology when we get to heaven for the way that we have presented him in message. I do understand that Jesus spoke to him about having little faith, but think about our faith if his little faith enabled him to physically walk on the water. And it kind of checks me in my spiritual arrogance, kind of checks me in my thinking more highly of myself. And at least he got out of the boat. And so that theme of getting out of the boat and stepping out on the water and walking to Jesus has dominated your pastor's heart and mine. And I brought you a series entitled, Let's Take a Little Walk. And the thought is, and the truth behind this is a motivation and an encouragement to leave a life of spiritual ordinariness and mundaneness and monotony and boredom and begin to step out by faith and follow the Lord and what He wants for us to do. You know, the Christian life is an active life. The Christian life is like being enlisted in the army. It's like being a soldier for the Lord Jesus, moving forward, constantly going to new places, constantly conquering new grounds, and constantly having an adventure where we're not just stuck in the mundane. And as I talk with people and meet with people and pastor people, I have found that the ordinary and the mundane and the sameness is a legitimate frustration to Christian people. And it's not a lessening of them in the spirituality. It's a frustration that they struggle with. It's something that they wish would change. It's something that they wish that they could make different here. And so I'm hoping that this series will inspire you and encourage you to get out of the boat of mundaneness and begin to move forward in a life of faith, in a walk of faith, in a revival of faith, in a refusal of the status quo, and begin to enjoy the God-anointed life, the Spirit-filled life, and a victorious Christian life. And I'm trusting God for these truths to unfold in our lives. We looked at this morning reasons why anybody would want to walk on the water. And there were really two reasons I gave you. The first one would be dissatisfaction with boat life. And what I mean by dissatisfaction with boat life is just that. We brought to you that boat life would be identified with mediocrity, ordinariness, status quo. We talked about the realization that boat life is dull. Sometimes it can be guilt-ridden. Sometimes it can be kind of a helplessness as we're just battled around by the circumstances of life. And really and truthfully, it's unproductive. It may be safe and it may be, you know, a secure position to some degree, but it's not a victorious position. It's not one that blesses me. It's not one that inspires me. It's not one that enables me to know the grace of God or the power of God in my life, or the miraculous power in our lives. And so, as we looked about these reasons for boat life, the first one was dissatisfaction with boat life, and then the other one was to go to Jesus. And I made a statement this morning that most of the time, we want Jesus to join us in our little safe boat. And we're not real excited about putting ourselves in a vulnerable position to go to Him. So Lord, you join me in my plan, and you kind of join me in my income, and you kind of join me in my situation here, and I'm just going to be happy being in the boat with Jesus. The problem is we're not really happy because Jesus, in the one way, he's in the boat, but really he's out walking on the water. And I said in the service that where Jesus is the action. And I don't know about you, but I want to be actively serving the Lord. And it's hard to actively serve in the Lord when I'm in the boat of mundaneness and sameness. And don't get me wrong, church is important. And don't get me wrong, reading your Bible is important and praying is important. And I want to say this carefully, and a lot of what I say in this series I want to say carefully, but sometimes that alone is, if that's your end goal, you miss out on the practicality of all of that. I come to church to be preached to and encouraged and lifted in fellowship. I read my Bible to be inspired and to be taught and to be fed. I pray so that the Holy Spirit of God will move me. And as all of that infills me, then I'm able to step out and go and do what God wants me to do. I am finding that church-going, Bible-reading, praying people are bored. They can get bored. It's got to be more than this. Well, I want to encourage you that there is more to that. There's the call of God in our lives. There's the walk of faith in our lives. And the boat of sameness is one that we must get out of if we're ever going to see the miraculous, wonderful blessing of God in our lives. And so we went all through that, and you can get that from online or whatever. I said this morning that the message series that I'm preaching is not necessarily safe. It's not necessarily safe. It's got danger to it. And you can hurt yourself with some of the statements and with some of the message if you don't know how to put them together in building blocks upon the truth. And so I told you that there would be some things that you would need to know about when walking on the water. And I want to give you four things tonight that you need to write down and you need to remember so you don't hurt yourself when you're walking on the water or when you're stepping out in the faith life or when you're making yourself vulnerable, when you're putting yourself in a place where if God doesn't come through, I'm in trouble. I'm sunk. I'm going down. And I understand that this is spooky, and I understand that this is consequential, and it has to be done right. So, understanding that, I want you to come to verse number 26. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit or a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou," those are important words, "bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." All right, the very first thing you need to know about walking on the water is you have to set identities straight. And what do I mean by that? You better make sure that it's Jesus you're walking to. And you better make sure that it is Jesus that is calling you out of the boat. Many people hurt themselves when they don't understand that getting out of the boat and walking a life of faith, if you're going to walk a life of faith, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, I want to be a missionary, so I'm quitting my job and I'm going to missions. I'm out of the boat and I'm walking. If God called you to it and God gave you a word, fine. If this is your plan, you're going to drown. So, first thing Peter said was, "Is that you, Lord? And I think that's a very good question to ask when you're trying to decipher getting out of the boat of sameness and mundaneness, and you have an opportunity, or you have you see this situation here. You can't just jump out of the boat with your own plan or your own opportunities or your own vision. What we're talking about is serious stuff, and there's danger there. It could hurt you. It could hurt your family. It could hurt your children. It could hurt your faith life. And so as he identifies the identity that is there, Pastor, how do I know if it's Jesus that I'm going to? How do I know if this is not my own brain or if this is a plan that I have? Well, the way that Peter said, Peter told him, "If it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And how does the Lord Jesus bid him? He gives him a what? A word, right? And the Lord is that, if that's you out there, just give me the word and I will come to you. No matter what the circumstances are, no matter the danger, if I have the word of God, then I have the permission of God, the calling of God, to get out of the boat and to go forward. And so it is imperative that you know when you get out of the boat that you have identified, this is what Jesus wants in my life, and he has confirmed that by his word. And I promise you, there is not a storm ever to exist that can trump the powerful word of God. But a lot of people hurt themselves. And they have enthusiasm. They have a spirit of adventure. They even have a good intention. And they want to get out on that boat and they want to be where Jesus is. And I understand that. But you better make sure, point number two, that you understand that walking on the water is never about you. It's always about the glory of God. It's never about me. It's about me and the fact that I respond to God. But if you look at verse number 33, really and truthfully, after the wind had ceased, it says, "Then they were in the ship, came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God." So really, in reality, Peter's walk on the water enabled the ones around him to worship and praise and recognize Jesus as the Son of God. So in one way, it's about him and his identification and Jesus calling him by the word. And the walk of faith is always a walk on the word of God. Pastor, how do I know to get out of the boat and leave my corporate job and go into ministry? You get a verse from the word of God. How do I know to move here or do this? You get a verse from the word of God. Pastor, I'm excited. I got all this energy. I want to do this. Yeah, it's not about you. It's about the plan that God has. It's about the worship that he desires. And the moment that you make it about yourself, then you're in trouble, because God will never sustain something where he's not glorified. That's great. You should say amen to that. See, everybody knew that it was not Peter alone who walked on the water. They knew that God was meeting this need here. By the way, that's what the world wants to see. The world is apt to pay more attention to things that it cannot explain. One of the things that's missing in the world and bringing them to the knowledge of the Savior is the miraculous power in the lives of the believers, because most of the believers are afraid to step out by faith on the Word of God and trust the Lord. But as they do, their behavior and their decision there is used of God to glorify himself. Others see that, and then they're brought to a saving knowledge of the Lord. So two things you need to understand. First off, you better identify that it's Jesus, and you better have a word from him to come unto him. Because the walk of faith is a walk on the word of God, not on your whim. Many a man and many a lady that has heard a message like this and has jumped out of the boat without identifying that Jesus is there and out identifying the word, has found that when their feet hit the water, they just keep going all the way down. And then as we walk on that, we have to remember that it's not about me. It's about God getting the glory. Third thing, write this down. Very simple. The challenge to walk on the water may confront you in the darkest and troublesome times of your life. Anybody is willing to take risk in a calm sea. But God does not receive the type of glory that he wants in a calm sea. The disciples were in darkness and in trouble that night. The sea was turbulent, as we read. They're crying out for fear. They think they have saw a ghost. This is not time for walking on the water. This is time for praying for our very lives. And yet, in this troublesome, turbulent time, the challenge for Peter, or the word for Peter, was to walk on the water. Do not be surprised if in the middle of trouble and darkness, then God comes to you and says, now's the time to walk on the water. Now is the time to get out of the boat. Pastor, it's just not a good time right now for me to do this. It's probably the best time for you to do it. See, God's not always interested in our calendar. He's interested in his calendar. And he has a way of approaching us when we're the most vulnerable, when we're the most tossed. He has a way of approaching us when we're at the end of ourselves. We don't see any resources. We don't see any way. And Jesus comes out to the boat, and he's there walking to bring them assurance and blessing. And it's at that time that the invitation was to walk on the water. Just because you go through trouble and dark times doesn't mean God has forsaken you. And it doesn't mean that God won't use those times in our lives. I think once again, the danger is you better make sure that you identify that it's Jesus in that moment. You better make sure that you identify that you have a word from the Lord. You better make sure that you realize that it's not about me getting glory because I'm able to do something spiritually that nobody else is able to do. God's not going to sustain that. And then I've got to realize that many times God asking me to get out of my boat comes at the worst time of my life. You ever had that experience? Say amen to that. That's how it happens. Number four. God will never call you out of the boat to destroy you. He will call you out to bless you. God allows a confrontation always to enlarge us, never to endanger us. Now think with me. Put yourself in the boat. Can you see yourself in a little boat? Just picture a storm. Picture fearful for your life. Picture the Lord Jesus coming up to that boat. And the Lord Jesus, standing over there, says to Peter, come. In Jesus' mind, is it safe? in Jesus' mind, does Peter have anything to worry about? In Jesus' mind, is he in a hurry? No. See, a couple of things that really encouraged Peter was Jesus had just walked over that turbulent sea. He had already proven himself all-powerful. He'd already proven himself to know the way. And there he stood, wonderfully successful, wonderfully powerful, wonderfully in charge. Peter sees that. It's very alluring to him. The invitation graciously comes from the word of Jesus to come and join him. And in Jesus' mind, there's nothing to worry about, right? Nothing. Question number two. Did Peter worry? Come on. Did Peter feel safe? He got out. It's better than I would have done. Did Peter feel like he was going to make it? Yeah. Did Peter have any... You don't even read about any hesitancy in Peter. He just, Jesus is there. The word has come to him. He feels safe in the presence of the Lord. He feels safe with the word of the Lord. Jesus is there understanding nothing is going to happen to you. That has been transferred over to him. Jesus knows that this is an opportunity for him to be glorified as the Son of God. Jesus knows this is an opportunity for him to enlarge Peter and to bless Peter and to teach Peter some things. So Jesus feels safe. Peter feels safe. He's moving. Who are probably the only people that don't feel safe? People in the boat. So the people in the boat, nobody went with Peter. They just kind of watched him. In that moment, their thoughts are important. Now stay with me. I'm going somewhere. I'll be done in 5 minutes. Either you're the stupidest sailor to ever get in a boat, or there's something about you. I ain't doing it. I don't care if God's there or not. I ain't getting out of the boat. I feel safe in the boat. See, that's how Christian people live. This is what I don't want you to do. God is inviting you as a believer to join him in a walk of faith. He's the risen Lord. Already defeated death. More powerful than anything. Totally at peace. Total understanding of safety. Total understanding of the circumstances. Total domination of the circumstances. Jesus is not having a bad night on the water. And he stands there as the Son of God. And he says, come on, Peter. And Peter, reckoning that, gets out and begins to walk. The 11 are in the boat. They don't feel safe. They don't reckon the identity of Christ. They don't reckon the word of God. They're not getting out of the boat. I'm telling you, this is how church people live. It's okay, Pastor, for you to get out of the boat and follow Jesus. I'm glad, Pastor, that you feel safe surrendering your life to Jesus. I'm glad, Pastor, this works for you. I'm glad, Pastor, that you are able to do these kind of things. But, Pastor, I'm not you. Wrong way to look at it. Has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with Jesus. And the same that Jesus is to me is the same that he is to you. And so you have people that just sit in the boat their whole life. And God comes to them, and God calls them, and God has a plan for them. And they just can't ever muster up enough faith, enough courage to get out of the boat. I'm telling you, the walk of faith, the Christian life, the Spirit-filled life, the adventure with Christ is wonderful. It's not safe, and yet it is safe. It's scary. It's peaceful. And there will be moments when you're like, I can't believe I'm where I am. And there will be moments where thoughts will go through, how am I going to do this? What am I going to do? What are we going to do? The moments I take my eyes off of Jesus, put them on myself, put them on the circumstances, are the moments I'm going down. But as long as I keep walking on that word, no matter how big that wave gets, if Jesus told me to come to him, Jesus is going to make sure I get to him. It's like when I was teaching the kids how to swim, and I would put them on the edge of the pool, and I would say, jump. And they would say, no. Come on, jump. No. Jump. No. Jump. No. Jump. Jump. I'm going to throw you in this pool. Jump. No, Dad. No, Dad. Daddy's got you. I will catch you. I won't drop you. I promise. It's safe. Jump. And then, you know, the first time they do jump, and then you regret that after the 100th time when they say, throw me in, throw me in, throw me in. I'm like, it's not safe. That's what the Lord does. Okay, Tom, come on. I got you. No. Come on, Tom, I got you. Lord, Tom, I got you. Get out of that boat. Come do what I want you to do. Okay, Lord. By the way, once you get out of the boat, you're sure glad for God's plan for your life. Things you better know. You better make sure it's God calling you out of that boat, not your plan. He will confirm that by his word. He will confirm that by his presence. Peter was so encouraged by the presence of Christ. And usually what happens is, God begins to stir inside of you. Normally the process is, and listen, this is important if you have ears to hear. Normally the process is, you hear the call of God first in your spirit. You sense it in your presence. You begin to think about certain things. You begin to feel the Lord speaking to you. And once you begin to feel that and hear that in your spirit as a believer, and if you've never experienced this, the only way I know to tell you how to describe it is that you do experience it. Then he comes behind that and confirms it in his word. Very rarely do I ever read the Bible and it's a direction that God rips that verse off and communicates to me something he hasn't already communicated to me in my spirit, and he confirms it in his word. Peter identified Jesus. Jesus had identified himself. They said, it's a ghost. Jesus said, no, be not afraid. It is me. Okay, so now I know that this is the Lord Jesus. He didn't get out of the boat then. Lord, if it be thou, bid me come. So he's waiting on an invitation from the Lord. He's waiting on the word of the Lord. So I feel in my spirit this pricking. I feel in my spirit this thought process, this yearning, this drawing. And I have to reckon, is this you, God? And then he confirms it in his word. And when it's confirmed in his word, no matter the circumstances of life, no matter what I'm going through and the difficulty, those circumstances won't bother me as long as I'm sure that it is the word of God. And so the walk of faith is a walk on the word of God. Okay, Lord, I stepped out on your word. Here I am. I don't have a plan B. I've let go here. And I continue to walk on that, realizing it's not about me. The moment I turn this thing into Tom's glorious walk, God's going to pull the plug on that, and I'm going down. And he'll let me sink far enough to where I cry, "Save me, Lord." And then after I've repented of that, he'll stand me back up. And he'll say, "Okay, Tom, I'm glad we got that straight. It's not about your glory, it's about my glory. Yes, sir, Lord, I won't ever do that again." And then I got to realize that a lot of times it comes in a time of trouble. The psalmist said in Psalm 4:1, "In my distress, he enlarged me." And so God will put me in some turbulent times, and those are opportunities for me to step out and to trust him. And when he does give me those opportunities of his word, I got to remember it's never to destroy me. It's always to bless me. It's never to endanger me. It's always to enlarge me. Now we look at it and we say, that's dangerous. And Jesus says, "What are you talking about? I'm standing right here. I'm telling you, you're walking on water I created. The waves I'm overcharged." See, you look at it as being dangerous. And I'm telling you, be not afraid. And you have to, in your mind, as you analyze the circumstances and you feel the danger and the vulnerability and you look at it like that way and it shakes you to your core, you got to remember the eternal presence of God that lives in you. Amen. And you got to go back to you being a parent with a child. You would never let your child do anything that would kill them. God's not going to call you out to walk to where you're going to drown. God's called you out there to where you would walk and know the wonderful blessing of that. And as long as Jesus is there with that long arm, man, everything is safe where Jesus is. I was talking to the kids earlier. We were having a discussion at our house about God's will and God's plan and where we were in our lives. And I told them, I said, "Dad, did you always know the details of what God was going to do?" And I said, "I didn't always know the details, but I always knew the presence of God, and I always knew the word of God, and I always knew that as long as I was doing what God wanted me to do, he would care for me." I think the number one danger you got to take away from here is you better identify who's calling you, and you better identify the word. Once you get the word, the walk of faith is the walk of the word of God. Amen? All right, let's pray.